Welcome to Overtime on Inferno, your weekly roundup of all the biggest stories in CSGO, quicker than something that has happened in the last week that we don't know about yet, because you'll see in a minute. the episode really helps us. I'm Logan, this is AZ Aspen. We are recording this on March 22nd, and you may be wondering, why the fuck are you recording this on March 22nd when it comes out on March 30th? And the reason is because we had a really good talk with Conky today about the OS region and the Asian RMR as part of our continuous goal to be the only people that actually cover the RMRs. So we had a really good talk with them, and plus Elliot and I are both away this week. So therefore, we don't know what the fuck's going to happen in the next week. And please enjoy this fantastic interview that we just had with Conky. Welcoming to the pod, Conky from OS. Hello, Conky. Pleasure. How are you doing?
Thank you very much for having me.
For you, this morning for me, and this midday for Elliot.
Yeah, and I'm the one who feels like I've woken up earliest because my sleep schedule is the weirdest thing possible.
Well, as I said, like we've managed to make American, UK, and Australia all work on the same podcast, so I think that's a pretty impressive feat in its own right.
Yeah, we quite literally 12 hours apart for you two, I think.
Yeah,
8 a.m.
Yeah. It is 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., yeah, correct.
I'm about to start a full-ass day of work after we finish recording this podcast.
Yeah.
All right, so we have Conky on today because the RMRs are coming up, and in our continual series of trying to be the one-stop shop for you to go and learn about the RMRs, we decided that we needed to talk a little bit more about the Asian RMR, because while T-Time and Yumi were real good about the teams from mainland Asia, we had to talk a little bit about the teams from the islands.
So the isolation.
There's a couple in here, and they've been doing some things in Pro League recently, so we felt the need to talk about them. So we're going to start with the general health of Australia, New Zealand, surrounding nations, etc. How are we feeling at this point? Coming into the major, where for those of you listening, we have not really hit Pro League playoffs yet. We're on like day two of them. It's the 22nd as we record this, so there's your marker of where we're at in time.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's been, for anyone who's been playing along from home, Australia and New Zealand, Counter-Strike, and Asia for that matter, has been a super interesting landscape, and it's been so up and down depending on various different factors. So the initial one that was a killer, and they both kind of came at the same time, was we had a thriving scene pre-COVID and everything was looking really, really good. There was some, you know, allure of a new game in Valorant potentially coming out that kind of kept some people fresh. And then when COVID hit, obviously all the events started falling off and not happening anymore. And us in Australia, we had some hectic restrictions with our travel and whatnot. So there was only like during that time, that 2-year block, there was really kind of only Greyhound who was doing some stints here and there. During that time as well, like Asian Counter-Strike just completely disappeared. You know, we had some Chinese teams, and I think that's part in part that, like, I've heard that Chinese players prefer CS, the style of it, very much over Valorant, but obviously the rest of Asia just disbanded almost, it felt like, overnight. You know, the second Valorant was released, they were just off with the sunset, and China has remained, Oceania has somewhat remained. There was some Valorant hype here, but it's kind of simmered a little bit. And we thrive on like local LAN and local events and that kind of stuff. So me personally in Western Australia, I could not leave my borders for two years unless we had a 2-week quarantine. And that was both going out and leaving. So for Greyhound to play international events during that time, they were going to say wherever. I think one time they got into Malta without quarantine, but then had to come back and do a full 2-week quarantine just to simmer down basically before they could go home. So it was turbulent over the last couple of years. But now that that's kind of phased out a little bit and we can travel again and normality seems to be restored, it seems like that love of that local event and the LAN and with ESL Challenger Melbourne, obviously, and they're happening again this year shortly, the crowd and the energy's back. So we've gone from this big simmer where not much was going on. We were underperforming heavily to now we're seeing some signs. Like you saw the, I guess, like minor bits of excitement where it's like, holy shit, a couple teams may make playoffs and then they shit the bed. So we're getting closer.
I mean, yeah, that's the first step though in getting better. Like, you know, it wasn't the most like absurd upsets, but that win over NIP for Greyhound is a huge one for them in terms of, if nothing else, like believing that they can do it again. Because they've shown glimpses of being able to beat European teams, but they hadn't had that like marquee result. Do you think that might like change the way they view going to Europe now, like having that big win?
Yeah, I hope so. And that's really all that can happen, because like at the Asia RMR, that was, I think, the first sort of tier one-esque LAN, obviously, you know, tier two sort of globally. But we had the four-team RMR, which was on LAN in Melbourne, which was the two teams ended up qualifying. That was IHC and Greyhound that went to the major in Rio last year. But it was still quite tough. Like Greyhound ended up being Rare Atom. IHC was just too good. They just stomped the competition. So it's been really exciting to see, like, you know, it was typically China and Australia that were the powerhouses for a long, long time. And now Mongolia stepped up as this beast that's been really, really good lately. We'll raise some questions about how the new IHC roster looks later in, I'm sure. we'll get there. But yeah, I definitely think there's some life, because it was kind of that slow progress. Like, they took a map off Cloud9 at the major. Then at Katowice, they looked okay. And now at Pro League, they threw their chance at playoffs. Like, I'm happy to go on the record and say that, because they looked so hot, right? Like, I remember the games for me were like 2 a.m. and I've worked full time. So every time I was waking up, I'd see, no way, they've 2-0'd NIP. They've, you know, 2-0'd over 0-0 Nation. Like, there was these moments where they're happening, but then the pain loss must have hurt. That was so close. And then, of course, the loss to 0-0 Nation, I think, was kind of like, they still had to beat NIP, but 0-0 Nation beat NIP. So I guess it was a very winnable kind of element for them. So they'll be hurting on that one, but hopefully they kind of, as you mentioned earlier, like drive themselves forward to run with that hype that they've built over the last little bit.
It's okay. The best of teams lose to pain in best of threes.
we saw that at ESL Challenger Melbourne for the first time. It's just they're the hardest team to dislike, though. They're all such nice guys. Like,
oh yeah,
lovely dudes.
Yeah. They're also very solid. Like, the only thing that holds pain back to me is they have two players who aren't quite as good as the other three, who are fantastic.
Yeah.
But
correct.
These are very choice words you're using today.
Yeah. That's.
We recorded yesterday with Ryan from Rush B Dust 2.
Oh, yes, of course, yeah. I assume he had some choice words for anything relating to South America, yes?
No. A little less choice about that.
Okay. Oh, Ryan, I love him so much. He's great.
All right, I want to get into the RMR. So we have two teams that will be going through from the RMR into major in Paris, and up from four teams we've got
eight teams. Which is a big shift up, because now it's gone from a thing of where 50% qualification to 25% qualification. So massive shift.
Okay, so as a general thing, we had been saying publicly prior to the last major that we wanted more slots and more teams to be fighting in this armor. So the way that you just said that, going from 50% to 25%, do you think this is a good thing or a bad thing?
Definitely both ways, right? Because the good thing is, if what we've noticed, and this is what we saw in Valorant for Australia, right? And Australia, New Zealand, is we had a direct feed. It took the first year. The first year sucked. Second year was okay because we had this direct feed into the Asian event each time. But every time we went over, it was kind of somewhat proof that we weren't really kind of good enough to make that element. So this time round, we've only got the one spot, and it hopefully will bring up the region to kind of compete a little bit firmer before we leave. Because the problem is always, if the grassroots or the general community of our region sucks, we're going to just go over and get hammered every single time. So the Asia RMR extending out to eight teams is shit for me as a Greyhound fan, because fuck, they may not make it this time. You know, I put them up the top. alongside IHC. But with that change to IHC, how good Rare Atom have been looking, you know, Invictus, I think, is really good. Eruption's got upset potential. Like, there is no guarantee that these guys make it. And I think they'll be sweating there because they have always been that Australian Oceanic team that makes the major. This time, there's a very real chance they don't make it. So I think that's kind of that sucks from a financial perspective, making the major perspective, competition perspective for those couple of teams that are used to it. But overall, awesome, because it means that the RMR should go so much more competitive. Four teams is not enough in any event, really, as you guys would expect.
Yeah. And it only improves the competition, only means that the best team is more likely to go through, or the best team, as it were. I do still think Greyhound will make it through.
I've put them there, but as a fan, it's like, fuck, man, what if they, you know, like...
But then with the way it worked before, like, teams, like, I think Rare Atom weren't in the RMR last time, whereas, like...
No, they were. So, the last...
Yeah, okay.
Correct. So, they got knocked out. I think the opening matches were IHC versus Invictus, now formerly Zhijiahao, I believe it was. That matchup was, like, IHC steamroll kind of thing. Then Greyhound went up against Rare Atom, and it was an upset, almost, like... You'd kind of expect them to win, but then they came out swinging and it was really, really nice. Then Greyhound lost to IHC in the upper bracket, IHC first qualifier. Then they dropped down whatever way, I think it was, must have been Zhijiahao then subsequently eliminated Rare Atom, or anyway, irrespective, yeah, Rare Atom went out first, then the qualifying match. And like after, Zhijiahao beat Rare Atom, it was like, shit, okay, like maybe this Middle Eastern team's really, really good, and they've got some awesome players on there too. So with some Russian experience kind of tossed in there, so crazy. Yeah, that is
one of the strangest like rostered like teams I've ever seen. Like it makes no sense whatsoever.
We don't talk about the Invictus Gaming roster very often, but every time I go and see this roster and just see Facecrack on the middle of the roster, it just makes my day better because.
I will say Facecrack is the most Tyloo player to have never played for Tyloo. He is like, the way he peaks is so egregious. Like he has no, there's very little thought as to when or how he peaks. He just peaks things, which is just very Tyloo. So in a way, it's quite fitting in here. Like
yeah, for sure. I'm actually gonna have a look.
He couldn't play against outsiders. He'd get killed.
No, absolutely not. I think especially it's like, you know, when you start to play that style, like it took so long for us back in the day when, say, maybe call this like 5 years ago, 6 years ago, when we really had that Tyloo era where they were a team that could come over and, for example, like take some really crazy European scalps because of how incredibly sharp they were. But then if you really like, I think they like made a deep run into a competition back like 2018, 2019, something like that. But then they versed like a very robotic Astralis and just got like 16-1, 16-2 because you're not dealing with these Chinese players sprinting down banana or mid every round. They're like, oh, these guys are just rushing here. We'll just throw our util and they'll die immediately. Like, Tyloo would run through a Molly. They would run through a HE and like lots of people couldn't punish that back in the day. And then they'd verse a really structured or well-rounded team and they just get murdered every single time.
I used to say somebody on Tyloo wouldn't push something unless it was smoked or mollied.
That's the only time
he would push it. He's not interested if he could see. Just
make the game hard enough.
He was a maniac. I loved it.
But I'm just trying to bring up that roster at the moment. So what do we got? Oh, it's okay. So is
maybe
Invictus
roster,
has fallen
maybe.
Off? No, this is...
Invictus. Okay.
Yeah, talking to Invictus now, like the roster looks like HLTV. So it's Davkos, Facecrack, Mini, Meztal, and Mori. So... Mini swapped in for whoever else was playing last time, but Davkos, Facecrack, Meztal, Mori. Yeah.
I think there was some contract issue.
Blue Phoenix? Blue Phoenix, that's the one. Yeah, he was there. So only one swap player from the last RMR a few months ago.
Yeah, because I'm pretty sure Invictus came out and announced the roster and then all the players went, no, we actually haven't signed with you yet.
I remember that.
And then someone was flaming him on Twitter for like, why the fuck did you come out with this roster before we have signed the contracts yet?
And then it
didn't sign for a while.
Yeah, so that must be it then. Yeah.
They're not Invictus on HLTV.
Sure, okay.
Like, I think that all tracks together now.
Time will tell. And then, because like, that's the two big question marks. Because like, looking at Eruption, like, that's got some upset potential in the sense that there are some of those Mongolian, like, heavy hitters. You know, Dobu's got so much experience and looking like he's bringing in some younger players. But Twisted Minds, like, I can't believe that I'm going to see, like, Doc and Black Eagle and stuff and Lobar playing at an event.
Oh, yeah.
So it's going to be so crazy to see, yeah.
Let's do quick context. So IHC and Eruption are two Mongolian representatives going into the RMR.
Correct, yes.
Rare Adam and Tai Lu are two Chinese teams. Greyhound and Vertex, the two Australian teams. And then we have Twisted Minds, which is Middle East mix, but also Loba and Doc. And Invictus, which is Russia and Israel. So we're a little geographically...
With a Lebanese player in the middle.
Yeah, we're a little educated now going into
yes,
it. So,
yes,
continue.
No, I was going to say, so, like, really interesting touch on that, like, the Mongolian representatives, right? Like, that's where we talk about this Greater Asia item, because historically there would be so many more teams competing in that space, whereas now there's literally nothing. Like, you know, I think back to the day where I went to an Extremes Land, I think it was, like, 2019, and... You know, we had all these rosters that most of which ended up moving across to Valorant, but, like, there's no real heavy hitters kind of left in those spaces. You know, I think we've got Zion still playing, which is, like, the one rogue Korean player, you know, a couple of Chinese. Like, we've obviously got Urcast who went back over in NKT. Have you seen that as well? I think we've got, like, Radis Faction signing to NKT or something like that now. What? So
no,
that's got to be this
He's still
wild
playing
thing.
This game?
Yeah, whoa. Yeah. He's taken some time away, like, but... If they, Azza and Grat tried to jump back onto Encore for a brief period.
Whoa.
And now we're seeing all this happen. So Azza's gone to Sprout. Grat's potentially gone to NKT. So when you asked me at the very, very start, that's where I should have gone. I'm getting the hype back a little bit, you know?
Wait, this Azza to Sprout we talked about, which is I didn't realize Grat had gone to NKT.
Only one of those, like, leak thingos or whatever, but it makes sense because he was great friends with Urcast during his time in Greyhound. So
wait, and Benta, what the fuck is this lineup, man?
Yeah,
why
Benta's been there for a little bit,
like,
now, but it's
four
oh man,
months ago you add Grat to this lineup, they make the RMR.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And like, they're one of those teams as well. You look at it on paper, it's like, holy fuck, this team could be incredible. But, like, again, the Asian effect, will it be incredible or will it be dog shit?
Yeah, well, it could quite easily be. I haven't watched Bientet play for a while, but it felt like he was slowly trending downwards.
For Genji in America. Let's remember that was a thing for like 5 minutes.
It was.
So.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
And then he tried to come, because obviously he was on Tai Lu for so long. Then I think he tried
he
to come
back
to Tai Lu for a little bit.
He did play for Tai Lu for a bit.
Correct.
And then he didn't play for Tai Lu anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. And then now he's like, I think. Maybe he really struggled to go back to the Chinese landscape. Like, maybe he was too born out of all his time. Because he did... Was it Extremis?
He was too structured from playing in America.
Correct.
Is what I'm hearing.
Yes, and Europe as well.
They were thinking he was thinking too hard to go back and play in China.
Yeah, you got to switch off. Because otherwise some dude called Mercury will just, you know, run at you and frag with our thinking.
Oh, yeah. He's different. I mean, Rare Atom are like we were quite big on Rare Atom anyway, right. And I think their performance of Pro League is only going to make people think even more. Like, yeah, no, these guys can play.
Yeah, well, you know, so Advent, like, obviously Kaze's been there for ages now. He's kind of like the level head, but Advent literally goes into Chinese pugs. I think it's 5e that they use over there. I think, but
that sounds about right.
Yeah, they like Jam Young, and it's either Mercury or Mosey, I can't remember, were found just in pubs. No competitive experience prior. They were just found in a random thing. And Advent goes, "You want to play on my team?" And they just go to tier one in China immediately.
I remember. I'm pretty sure that's the same story happened with Tetes.
Yes, it did. Yeah.
Yeah,
right.
MSL
yeah.
like just found him in a face-it game. And was
a
like,
random
this
dude
guy is insane.
I'm just going crazy, yeah.
Well, there's our legally required one MSL reference per podcast. Thank you, Elliot.
But okay, my point is, it's not like it's an insane story. He just found two kids in a pub, but like it actually still happens at the top level where like Tessa's just now on one of the best teams in the world, and he was just a kid in a pub as well.
He's one of the best players on one of the best teams in the world, like not
correct,
just...
yeah.
Yeah. the facial structure over there is telling me different things.
I think he's one of the weaker players on Heroic, but
So you think he's one to be sold off in the upcoming heroic fire?
Oh man, I don't even want to talk about that, man. Like I saw the figure that they need, and it's just like, holy shit, man! Esports is still just such a crazy beast.
So let's talk about that with Australia, right? Because you guys are in a totally different, I say issue, but I don't really mean issue, than America and Europe is.
Yeah.
Because America, we have a large amount of money. And then in Europe, there's a large amount of fan base. So there's a lot of people watching and sponsors generally, obviously not in the context of Heroic, want to sponsor the big European teams, your G2s, your Navis, your any of these teams that hold like multiple teams across multiple esports. Whereas Australia is kind of weird.
Because
you guys are smaller and any sponsor that you have, you need to like make sure it works with Australians, but you're then going to play in Europe and time zones don't always help the watching games. And
So
how is that all working together with like, because who was it that closed down last year? There was an order that closed down last year because they didn't
have
much money. There
was some heavily negligent spending in there, but as far as I'm understanding, they burnt roughly, and this is Australian, so maybe call it $3 million in a year, roughly.
They just
churned through. But they had like, they tried to set up too hard, too fast, in a sense of where they had a facility, they had like 20 full-time staff, then they obviously had the teams in each title. Like they did have the tier one team in each title for the most part, but they were clearly just churning too much and they were trying to make like content, they were trying to do this, they were trying to do that. And I have only love and respect for the people who were working for Order. The owners of the organization, they can go fuck themselves. But the actual people there who were grinding it out, trying to do, make their salary worth it, are killers. Mm-hmm. And they have all been since employed elsewhere. So they found different positions in different, whether it be esports or industry-based, whatever it is, they're all doing great. And I'm very, very satisfied that they found their jobs. But yeah, effectively, it is exactly as you sort of say it. Like, our fan base isn't big enough to kind of bolster out it. We need to get more eyes here, which is hard because, of course, you know, we're lovable. People seem to really enjoy Australian personalities and talent and that kind of stuff. But it's so hard to send the eyeballs back, right? So I complain about having to get up at 1 a.m. to watch Greyhound play. But we literally, like, ESL Challenge of Melbourne, right, out of the DreamHack Festival went incredible. Like, we were so happy with how it went. The casters did great. I felt comfortable as stage host. It all was really, really cool. And then we reviewed the feedback, and this was a product run by Jackson Wolf, so he did fantastically with it. Everything went great. Reviewed the feedback, and the only negative feedback was shit viewing time. And it's like, well, fuck, we can't do anything about that now, can we? So I remember even starting one of the games at like 8 or 9 a.m. to try and feed into the Brazilian time zone a bit better. So that's how they were trying to adapt and overcome that. But try get Australian gamers down to a stadium at 9 in the morning. It's just not going to happen, right? So it's very
I'm working Melbourne again
in that
this
regard.
Year.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah, awesome.
And I am going to have to do an all-nighter the day before to flip my sleep schedule to work it for 3 days. Like it's like, okay, well, we could do this, but it's an 8 hour difference from what I'm used to. So I'm, you know, I'm waking up at like 10 in the evening.
Yeah. I think, it's wild. Hey. And those were big days. Like I think our first day we did, I got in for hair and makeup at like 6 a.m. and then didn't leave to the venue till 11 p.m. So they're big days where we all pull in the work. And the good thing for all of us here is we're very passionate, but I think down to the wire, historically, a lot of our players have received money that's been unjust. So like Greyhound, for example, is the only organization in CSGO that is profitable and it's purely off their major qualifications. That's it. Like the only reason they remain in the green is whilst they still go that. So it's still a gamble because like an event like this, right, you know, they'll be able to miss one or two given the fact that they've made the last three or four. But if they keep missing out, which is the scary thing for an org owner as the RMR skill level improves. So yeah, but they're the only organization that remains afloat. Like Vertex, the guy, the owner, he's like a bricklayer or something along those lines, or owns a bricklaying business. I know it's in a trade where he's a part of building, but he runs the business, you know, mostly out of his own pocket with some sponsors. And, you know, those are the kind of people that are the backbone of our industry, I guess. So, you know, I still work full time. Komodo, my other co-caster, he works full time. Mac, Elfish, and Pilly, they're full time commentators, but you know, that's because they're still able to get some regular work in and that sort of stuff. So a lot of our region will have to supplement the income via traditional means. Otherwise, they just can't compete. So, yeah, like this weekend, tomorrow I fly. I'm sure you guys potentially have heard of an event called Bris Vegas, which is a local LAN ran out of a city, Brisbane, in Queensland, eastern Australia. And that's run by one guy who has a team of people that are coming to support it. He works full time as well, and he's running this event on the side. We've got, you know, like Zhao, EM Wave, et cetera, on board, which is awesome, and some other stuff. But like, I work all day tomorrow, fly out at 4 p.m., land at midnight, get into the venue at 10 a.m., work, fly home Sunday midnight, and then I have a conference with my other job on Monday morning. So we do that, and the people like me, there's many of us, we do it because we fucking love it. Like,
yeah,
we love it. You know, it's not people. If you get into it for the money, you're in it for the wrong reasons immediately. Like, you should leave, because you'll be disappointed when you realize there's not much.
Yeah. And the money there is being wasted by teams like Order.
Exactly. And it sucks, because like Order comes along and they do the right thing, and they invest, they get the right team members, they hire good people, but they paid them way too much, way too early. There was no kind of like rewards-based income where if we got a sponsor, we, you know, add increase or whatever, you know, like a team that goes off and wins an event, we can increase their salary or something like that. There has to be more of that, like earnings-based shit. But then you got shit like, you know, and you guys are even seeing it in America, Europe, not so much, because it's always going to have a fan base, but like, what's it called? Sentinels paying places like people like Brax $20,000 a month when they haven't even fucking played an event. Like, how are you supposed to remain viable? Like,
I'm still on the Breezy's making like 40k a month to do whatever he's doing. Oh,
dude, don't even start. Like, oh. You know, when's the next story? Evil Geniuses collapses because they've been paying their players too much. You know, like,
that was yesterday. Never...
Yeah. What, wait, have I missed something now?
Well, they're dropping a team, aren't they?
Oh, okay. Yeah, they're
jettisoning the Party Astronauts team.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Which is that's the EG like John G and it's a team. Yeah. Okay.
John
sure.
G,
yeah.
Ben Lee, Pawn Alone.
Yep. Yep.
Momo, someone else.
Yep. Yep.
You couldn't have paid me 20 grand a month to know who was on that team, I'm afraid.
I think I only know because they came over for for ESL Challenge Melbourne. Yeah. Yeah.
I only know because I met them before. Like, like, it's all McFrag. It's not like I'm a fucking whisperer or something that like knows all the shit. So let's start thinking about wrapping up. Let's talk about matchups. First matchups in the Asian RMR. So they got released about 6 seconds before we pressed record.
Perfect
on
timing.
Live,
perfect right? timing.
And I don't think there's like a bracket. It's just double Elim, and we just go. Right. Mm-hmm. So first round Twisted Minds IHC.
Mm-hmm. Alrighty. I think like, so this is going to be the big question mark, right? Because a team like Twisted Minds, they've qualified and they're just there to have fun. You know, they're obviously going to take it seriously. They're going to run with it, but they literally will be just running on like pure adrenaline, you know, super happy to be there. Whereas IHC have made some seriously questionable, you know, like one of the best players arguably in all of Asia in score has been dropped without being told, and then Cabal's come back, but they've brought in someone else as far as I'm understanding. So they have a really weird roster, and it's either going to pay off in dividends or it's going to shoot them in the foot and potentially cost them the major.
Okay, so but we're still thinking IHC.
Still thinking IHC.
Okay.
On
okay.
value.
Just
yeah,
make sure
yeah.
on the same page.
It's difficult though, because and certainly for me, I've got absolutely no idea how good Twisted Minds are. Like,
yeah,
they
remember
could
when Doc
really good
everyone
them,
thought
no
Doc
idea.
Was a cheater. Like, you know, Doc had to go to Face It Studios to play to prove that he was legit once upon a time.
I'm still convinced he's really good. I'm sure it's insane notion, but I'm still convinced. Like, he could still do it. He could still be a top European player.
Yeah,
of course he could. I still think so. And, you know, this is his breakout event, I think.
His breakout event.
When he reached 40 on IHC in game one.
His breakout event playing against IHC in the first game. He's going to wide swing into an Annihilation Deagle shot, and all of your thoughts are just gone immediately.
He's better than that. He'll use Loba to wide swing, and then he'll trade it. It'll be fine.
Rare Adam and Vertex.
Yeah.
That is a horrible first game for Vertex.
Very much so. But with that said, I think honestly, like, any game was going to be a horrible first game for Vertex. Like, they've got the capacity to be really good, but their players haven't had the runs overseas. It's only really Malta that's been a part of the old Greyhound roster that was able to do big things. And he had, like, serious impact in one of their major runs where I think he dropped, like, 45 on Tai Lu on train to make them get to the event. So he's got the capacity to keep the players in check. And they've got some incredible talent, but they do have a tendency to go cold when they feel shit. So if Rare Adam come out swinging, like quite literally swinging down mid, they may crush their confidence early. But Vertex, I think, they just need more time. So anything's going to be rough, but anything is good experience for them.
Okay. So this is actually a banger game to open. Greyhound and Tai Lu got matched in the opening game.
Hey.
This is a double Evelyn bracket, thank God, because like either of these teams could legitimately make it.
I'd be surprised if Tai Lu make it.
I would also be, but like, who's your fourth best team if it's not Tai Lu?
Yeah, that was where I really, really struggled. Like, my third and fourth was so hard to pick. Like, you know, you think about some of these teams that could really dive up, because as we know, right, like, Eruption could be insane. Like, we haven't seen them outside of their local space yet.
Yeah, I'm for no apparent reason, I'm on the Eruption train.
I've heard
a lot about the sort of talent pool in Mongolia, and people talk very, very highly of it. And if they've got in ahead of NKT, they must have something about them.
Correct.
So
no, definitely.
I think they might be the fourth. The last few times I've watched Tai Lu, they are so unstructured, and that worked 5 years ago, and it worked when they had the best players in Asia, but they don't have the best players in Asia anymore. Everyone else, like IHC, you play a decent brand of Counter-Strike. Greyhound play some nice Counter-Strike. Rare Atom play some nice Counter-Strike. Tai Lu do not. And I think they will. I think it's finally reached a point where teams are just able to deal with the Tai Lu nonsense and actually play real Counter-Strike against them and beat them.
Yeah, it's interesting because when I was having a look at it, like, the China RMR was actually really, really fucking hard this time around, which surprised me. Like, you know, because Wings Up obviously had that dream run at ESL Challenger Melbourne. You know, they beat OG. They were looking fantastic. They were so good. And they bombed out at this RMR. They're fifth and sixth, which I thought they were genuinely a chance at coming first in that. And they've missed out on the ESL Challenger Melbourne again for this one coming up. So that was a bit of a surprise. And then LinVision obviously had their extended time in Europe where they really battened down on being structured. So this is a hard RMR and the scent for China, like, in quite some time. And the fact that Tai Lu managed to walk through it and come out relatively unscathed, I'll call it, is a big shock. So I'm interested to see how they will go.
I mean, they lost to Rare Adam in a best of one and then absolutely destroyed the lower bracket.
Yeah, exactly right.
Like, they 2-0'd everyone except for Take Me Away. Like, which has a former Tai Lu player on it. And
And Ormond. So, Ormond's obviously, you know, been around the block as well, so...
Yeah.
But super interesting.
Interesting to see that the only team that they couldn't win against was Rare Adam, and it was the best of one. So, Greyhound and Tai Lu. We're thinking Greyhound?
Yeah.
They're just better.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it will be a really, really fuck, we better look at ourselves loss if Greyhound lose to Tai Lu, basically. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And Eruption Invictus, which I think is a devil you don't know and a devil you don't know.
I'm both
friends here.
100%. I want to call Eruption. I'm with you earlier. I could just ride the train, baby, you know? If Mongolia is going to be that breakout region, you know, like once upon a time China was, where they came up and it was like, holy fuck, these Asian players or teams can actually do something really, really good. Hopefully we have that same resurgence, because bringing stability back to the greater Asia region outside of China when Valorant is just around the corner for the the Koreans, the Japanese, who really thrive in that game style, it could hopefully start to bring a few eyes back to CS in that region, which will ultimately just boost everyone up. So,
one might argue Israel itself was a breakout region of the year.
Absolutely was the breakout region of last year.
Yeah,
Flamesy. So,
I'm pretty sure Mestal's a pretty good player.
He's good. Really good.
He's the one player I've actually watched. Other than, well, I had watched Blue Phoenix. I played a face it pug with him once, and he carried the shit out of me.
They were the best. I remember we saw them like downstairs at because we're at the RMR, and we're trying to work out sort of who was who. We had a look over and saw this table, and I think must have been Maury, and he goes, "You guys are the casters, yes?" Like, we had a big chat with him. It was so good. But he's the nicest dude, like, big fella, big heart. So they're a team that you really want to cheer on, because they work hard. And I guess it's kind of like, the Middle Eastern qualifiers. I don't know if you guys have seen it in the past historically, but I remember there was one that I casted years ago now during COVID, pretty sure, where it must have been the South African roster, which had like JT on it and stuff at the time, flew to Dubai, I think, to play the qualifier. And then because of the differentiation in ping, like, they had to play one map on 150 ping and then one map on 10 ping, because that was how they balanced it out. And then it got so bad at one point that one of the teams just said, "Well, fuck it, we're not playing because we have to forfeit because we can't play on 200 ping." So it feels very Australia-esque in the sense of, they're playing against like Middle Eastern regions, playing against Middle Eastern teams, and that's it. There's no further expansion on that unless you start to fall out to 100 plus ping. So,
yeah,
it's suffering from that isolation.
It's scrim bubble, right? It is 100%. Legitimately scrim bubble, and that's always been a problem with that. I mean, we're starting to see the popularization of that as a problem in America as well. I mean, Kundera came out the other day and was like, "Yeah, our fucking practice for this event sucks because we had to go scrim NA teams."
Yeah. Just like, you guys are falling into the same bubble as what we are, where like players who are shit don't know that they're shit. That's the problem. Like, I think
I'm thoroughly aware that I'm shit. Okay, I'm terrible.
I dropped from level 10 to level 4 in like 3 months or something. I know how it goes. All right, so it's the thing of like the general populace. It's like, if you're say in the top 16 in Oceania, below the 4 but in the 16, you are contextually compared to the rest of the world awful, and that's okay. That's not a problem, right? But it's that realization of being like, we're winning, but you've got to still work at it really hard, because then you finally, okay, we get that international opportunity, let's grab it. And then you might go overseas and get shit on, but you've practiced. Rooster, perfect example. We got to see them at EPL. They stepped up, they threw, which sucked, but they got that experience and they'll come home a better team. And then they'll improve the rest of the teams subsequently. Vertex will do the same. Hopefully Encore will do the same. And the top 4 will develop the bottom of the 16. But when that doesn't occur, and you've got like, because I obviously run the FPL equivalent in Oceania as well. And I had a team, there was one time we had top 8 HLTV requirement to make the FPL equivalent. And during a period of the year, there was no HLTV games played for like 3 months effectively. So the not very good teams trickled into the top 5. And one team genuinely came to me saying, "Yeah, we've been doing pretty well in scrims." Because I said to them, "Look, I'm happy to give you the spot because you've hit a technicality here. You're sitting at top 3 on HLTV because no other teams have played for the last 3 months. Can you genuinely tell me you believe you're third?" And they tried to argue that with me and they pushed it and they were like, "Yes." So only one of them played and was played so poorly he was removed subsequently. The other 3 didn't play and then 1 retired effectively. So they all got invited. But for what? What did you achieve by getting that invite? You didn't do anything with it. You got fucking rolled. And then, I think a lot of them don't play the game anymore. So I wish there was kind of that, like, tempering these expectations to improve locally, then improve nationally. And then, only once you get to, sip the juice that JKS is doing, or, historically the other boys that were on the Renegades roster, you can't really claim to be good until you get there. And I think, as I said, that's the issue that NA is experiencing now as well, because NA will only be great again, same as Australia, when the grassroots gets better and starts to actually be willing to practice and not scrim to run down mid and, you know, actually improve actively. Because, yeah, by doing that and being lazy, you may as well not play at all, you know. You're bringing the region down with you, sort of thing.
All right, awesome. Thank you for joining us. You can find Konki online at KonkiOCE on Twitter. You can find the other two of us at Everything Normal, at AZESC, at Logan Rimboat, at TLDR. We'll be at TLDR.
That's at Reed TLDR.
It's never been at TLDR. At Reed TLDR.
I'm following we'll at TLDR right now.
I think there is another newsletter called the TLDR newsletter. There's nothing
to do with that. Twitter is at TLDR newsletter.
Yeah, I wouldn't have. We would have had that if they hadn't.
All right. Either way, we will be back again next week for the RMRs. Thank you for listening.